Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Good morning and welcome. I'm welcomed back for a second week running. Can you believe this? It's fantastic. Must be doing something right. Listen, it's good to be back, and I'm really, really excited this morning to carry on talking about the Spirit of Grace, the Holy Spirit, and how He works in our lives and how He's going to continue to work through your life. So I'm pretty excited about that. Gillian, that was great. Where are you? There you are. That was great. Really, honestly, bold faith. Folks, speak in tongues. If you don't, we're going to help you with that today. Amen? Amen. So the Holy Spirit, I want to get stuck right in. We're going to talk a little bit more about how do we go in the Spirit of Grace. What does that look like when we've been filled with God's presence? How do we go? How do we share what we have? How do we live in overflow? I want to recap. Last week, we talked about how we receive the power of the Spirit, that baptism of the Spirit, where you live in overflow, immersed in His presence, and then living inside out for the world around you. Transformation from the inside out, when the power of the Spirit comes upon you, that dunamis power, explosive, tangible, but God's power through His ability in your life. So that's what we talked about last week. We talked about how we have this lambano word. When Jesus says receive, it's this where I will aggressively take hold of what God has for me. And I want to encourage you this morning, have that mindset today. You are a son or a daughter of the King of Kings. You are blessed. You are highly favored. Therefore, every promise which He has spoken over you is yours. So receive it and say, I'm taking hold of that this morning. Amen? Amen. So, we're going to talk a little bit, how do we choose to go in grace? How do we respond to that which God has put in us? How do we live in that dunamis power? How do we go, how do we look past ourselves, but live from this place of purpose, that God has called you for a purpose, for a reason, and it is so much bigger than just yourself. God has called you for a great purpose, and that's what He has for you today. So if you receive that and you say, God, I believe this is bigger than me, what you have placed in me is bigger, then amen, take hold of that, because that's what God has for you today. Jesus says in John chapter 20, we looked at this last week, in verse 21, it says, again, Jesus said in the upper room, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And with that, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And He said, if anyone, you forgive anyone's sins, they're forgiven. If you're not forgiven, they're not forgiven. But He breathes on them. The Holy Spirit comes upon them, and this is where they're transformed. We looked at that last week when He breathed the breath of God. But the first part of it is, as the Father has sent me into your world to transform your heart, so I'm sending you. And then He breathes the Spirit on them. Before we get stuck right in, I want to talk a little bit about this word when He says, as the Father has sent me. This word is apostello, okay, in Greek. And it says it's an intensification of the word stello, which is just to send someone. It's actually a bigger word than that. It's more intense than that when He says, as the Father has sent me. What that means, it strongly connects the one who is sending you to, it's what strongly connects Him to you. That's what He says. So when He says, as God has sent me, He means that whenever you go, whenever you're sent, wherever you find yourself in your world, whoever that's with, you are strongly connected with me in the same way the Father was connected to me. That's what Jesus says when He says, I'm sending you. He says, you'll always be connected to me at all times. So that's a confidence for you this morning. When God has put the Holy Spirit in you, when God has surrounded you with His presence, what that means is at all times it focuses back on the source, on God Himself, power through His ability. As Andrew just said, it doesn't matter about your lack, it doesn't matter about your ability, it matters about God's ability in you. And that's what you have this morning. Wherever you find yourself, God's ability in you, and He strongly connects you wherever you go. So this is the word that Jesus says to the disciples, and He says, breathe the Holy Spirit, I'm going to be with you always, you're going to be strongly connected to me. So that's the context, okay? Then in Acts chapter 2, we looked at the Holy Spirit came, and they received this baptism of fire. They spoke in tongues. They had this dunamis power. And the context, and we'll set it up, since Pentecost, we know what they experienced. 3,000 people added to the number of the church. Healings, miracles, people speaking in tongues. It was incredible. In Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, then in 4, we see the highs. The Great Commission is being fulfilled by the apostles. Faith, your grace is working well, is what they were declaring. That's what they were seeing. That's what they were experiencing. And it's positive. It's power. It's dunamis power. Jesus has promised it. This is what we have. Then all of a sudden, in Acts chapter 7 and Acts chapter 8, it takes a little bit of a turn. A guy called Stephen is raised up as another one of the believers, and he's doing incredible things. Miracles, power, living in his grace, working well. And it's incredible. You see what he's done. But then it takes a turn. He's falsely accused, and he's brought before the Sanhedrin, before the high priest. He's falsely accused of blasphemy. And Stephen, this disciple, in the power of the Holy Spirit, your grace working well, gives a concise history of Old Testament right to New, talking about the Holy Spirit filling to overflow. And then it takes a turn when Stephen is martyred in front of their very eyes. Martyred in front of their eyes. And in Acts chapter 8, it says, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. That's Saul when they laid their coats at him, and Saul approved the killing of Stephen. But it says in verse 4, those who had been scattered like seed preached the word wherever they went. Have you ever had in your life God starting something incredible in your life, the work of God, the work of grace, then all of a sudden a Saul is raised up to attempt to destroy what God has started in your life? Anybody? When something has been brought up out of the blue, and the apostles were saying, God, we had a good thing going here for a while. We had your Holy Spirit blessing people. We had your Holy Spirit working in power, dunamis power. Then all of a sudden, Stephen goes and gets killed. All of a sudden, this guy Saul is raised up to distract and derail your purpose. This is what the apostles had to live with. This is what you and I sometimes have to live with. When the enemy raises something up in the middle of what the Holy Spirit's doing. So I ask you, have you ever had a moment like that? God's doing something good. God, we had a good thing going. Life was going well. Church was going well. I was worshiping. My job was going well. Then all of a sudden something happens. The disciples had a choice to make in this moment. And this is what we're talking about today. How do you go in grace in the middle of when your world can look like that? How do you keep moving forward? What does that actually look like? The disciples had a choice to make, and they made their choice. And it says, those who were scattered preached the word wherever they went. The disciples remembered what God had breathed into them was greater than what was happening around them. I want to talk about this guy, Saul. Saul raised up. He was a Jew. He knew the law. And he fundamentally disagreed with what God was doing through the church. He fundamentally disagreed with who Jesus was. And he made it his mission to destroy the church. He was raised up in Acts 7 and Acts 8. And it talks about, and I want to show you this, because this is the decision that we have to make. When we're filled to overflow, when we are blessed, when we are highly favored, this is the decision we make to continue to preach the word wherever we go. Because God's word and God's power is not limited by those who come against you, is not limited by the circumstances you find yourself in. His word is not powerless. Okay, amen? Amen. So what we find is in Acts chapter 9, the disciples make this decision. And there is this, I want to show you this, because this is so key, what the disciples decided to do. And this is so key for what's important for how we continue to move forward. Jesus, when he said, peace be with you, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you, it says he breathed on them. Okay, this is the context of Acts. The Holy Spirit, the wind of God, the ruach of God being breathed out upon you. But then there's something in Acts chapter 9. It says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. In the context of the Holy Spirit being breathed on you, in the context of the ruach, the wind of God on your life, filling you to overflow, I want to declare to you what God has deposited in you through breathing on you is greater than anything that someone will breathe out against you. It is greater than what has been breathed out around you. Can I declare over you that what is blowing around you by other people, murderous threats, distractions, things to derail you, they are not greater than what was breathed into your life. The Holy Spirit overflowing in your life. Amen. This is the truth. What God has breathed into you is greater than what is being breathed out around you. This is what the enemy will try and do. He will try and raise up situations. He will try and raise up distractions in your life to derail you from the purpose of God. And the purpose of God is that there's so much of him for you that you can't help but see him flowing into every area of your life. That's the truth. That's what you have. And his word is absolutely powerful to achieve that. The disciples made the decision to remember that Jesus breathing on them, that emphusa'au word, means that exactly whenever Adam got that life, we talked about this last week, when Adam received that life in the Old Testament, that's what that word meant. So when Jesus, when you breathe on me, you give me new life. And therefore, I can walk into any situation. Therefore, I can walk against my soul who's raised up. Therefore, I can walk against the situations, the circumstances, the distractions, because I will not be derailed by the for the purpose of God. Amen. I will not be distracted. And this is what the disciples chose to do. They said, we're going to preach the word wherever we go. Why? Because his grace works well. Amen. And that is the truth. So they remembered, it's breathing out versus breathing in, remembering that what he has breathed in my life is far greater than that. The enemy will raise up these distractions. You know why? Because he knows what God's placed in you, the giftings that you have, the Holy Spirit that's been flowing in your life. He will raise up these things because he knows the authority and the anointing that God has placed on your life. He knows how powerful that is, and that's why he will try and come against that in your life. He will raise up those distractions where you sometimes are tempted to say, but God, I had such a good thing going. Why all of a sudden is this happening? I declare over you this morning that no matter what is going on in your life, God is going to raise it up and turn it around so that he will be glorified, so that the world will see the dunamis power of the Spirit in you, because that's God's heart. That's God's heart. Breathe in the Spirit of God again this morning. Breathe in afresh who he is. Breathe in afresh the anointing that he has for you, because it is greater than what's being breathed out around you. Doesn't matter who it is, doesn't matter what it is. Don't take your eyes off what God has put in you. It's far greater than what's around you. And that's the truth for you this morning. You see, they recognized, the disciples, that the word of God was not limited by their circumstances. They recognized that God's word is still powerful. And the church, they made a decision. When I'm scattered, I will preach the word. When I'm afflicted, I will preach the word. When times are tough, I will preach the word. I will declare, God, you're good. God, you're faithful. God, you're coming through for me. So I'm not going to stop declaring who you are. And church, this is your present and this is your future. God, you are good all of the time. And no matter if a Saul is raised up, no matter if he breathes out murderous threats against me, I am not going to be derailed. Amen. This is exactly what they decided to do. That's what the church decided. When I'm scattered, I'm still going to declare his goodness. When I'm afflicted, I'll declare his goodness. And it says in Acts chapter 9 at the start, it says whenever he's breathing out murderous threats, it says, meanwhile, Saul was breathing out murderous threats. That means in the middle of his murderous threats, the church was still going. They did not allow him to freeze them. They did not allow their circumstances to make them pause and say, but God, you can't work in this. They decided, this is an opportunity, God, for your goodness to flow in my life. And I want to come against the lie of the enemy, because sometimes we talk about living in grace and sometimes we recognize that we're righteous and we're holy and we're blameless and we're loved. But sometimes we believe the lie of the enemy, which is, yeah, God loves you, but actually it's a little conditional. And I come against the lie of the enemy this morning that you can't be used by God because your life's not perfect. I come against the lie of the enemy that no matter if your circumstances, some things are tough, some things are negative, I come against the lie that you cannot be used. I come against the lie that you can't see transformation in the life of your family because you worry about things. I come against the lie of the enemy that says that, oh, because this isn't quite good in your life, you can't see God's goodness. That is a lie. And the truth for you is that it sets you free from the inside out, that you can transform the world around you. Why? Because it's God's power in you. And his word says that my power is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient. It is more than enough for you. So when you think about what's going on in your life, when you think about, oh, I've got these things, and you know, I don't really talk about that. How on earth can I be a vessel for God? He comes right to you this morning and says, I can use you. Why? Because it's my grace in you. It's my power in you. And that's what the disciples decided. They made the decision, no matter if I'm scattered, no matter if I'm challenged, I have the Holy Spirit inside of me, overflowing in my life. And just because life's not perfect, it will not stop God. Amen? It will not stop him. So that's what they decided. I declare over you that that which was sent to stop you will actually advance you. It will continue to move you forward because God is a God who uses no matter what's going on in your life. You know, God will allow you with those things that are raised up in your life. When he's done something good in your life, filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized, immersed in his presence, God will allow you to come face to face with those things that actually do worry you, that can derail you, that can distract you from his purpose in your life. And we see that with our little friend here, Saul. In Acts chapter 9, you'll know the story of Saul into Paul. If you don't know that, we'll have to brush up your Bible knowledge for you, okay? He wrote most of the New Testament. His life totally transformed. He comes face to face, blinded by Jesus on the road to Damascus. And in the story of Saul, before he becomes Paul, it concludes with a guy called Ananias. Ananias, a disciple of God, God calls to him and he says, Ananias, there's a man, Saul, who's praying. He's been blinded by Jesus. And he says to him, go, this man, Paul, this Saul is going to be my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles, their kings, to the people of Israel. And Ananias says in verse 13, Lord, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he's done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he's come here with the authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But then God says, no, go. I've got a purpose for you, Ananias. I've got a purpose for you in this, which is Saul's going to be transformed. You see, Ananias, this guy Ananias, he almost missed it. He almost missed the importance, which was that God had a purpose for him. Ananias was worried about Saul, the guy who had been raised up to destroy the church, the situation that was raised up. He was almost distracted and almost derailed from what God had called him for. But God goes one step further and says, I understand your fear. I understand your worry. But go, I have called you for a purpose. And Ananias, what happens in the story, he goes and he extends his hand onto Saul and he blesses him and Saul recovers his sight. And then Saul goes on to become the forerunner of the New Testament, preaching faith to the Gentiles so that you and I now believe because of this man's work. So God, what he does is he proclaims, Ananias, I've got a purpose for you. I've got a purpose for you. You don't have to worry about the Saul in your life. You'll come face to face with it. And God says you come face to face with that which worries you, with that which you fear about, that which you have anxiety about, those situations, those circumstances, because I'm going to turn it around for you, that he will be glorified. And this is exactly what happened. Live positioned for your purpose, not for your preference. Ananias almost missed it. He was positioned initially for his preference. God, what about this Saul? What about this guy? He's a scary guy. I'm not really sure I can be blessed and used by you. Sometimes we're a bit like that. God, how can you use me in this situation? Because look at this guy. It's a scary situation. I'm fearful about this. What about my family? What about my job? How can you use me? But God says, position yourself for your purpose, because it's about his ability in you, the Holy Spirit blessing you to overflow. And you've got to make the choice. I'm going to live positioned for my purpose. I'm not going to live positioned for those things that I prefer a comfortable life, or I prefer, you know, just not to look at that thing. So this is what Ananias did. He had this revelation that if I'm preoccupied with my own preservation, if I'm preoccupied with all of my own stuff, I'll miss it. Because what God has placed in you is far bigger and far greater than to keep it just to yourself. It's far bigger than that. That's what dunamis power means. So live in your don't live in your preference. Live for the purpose of God. Because when you seek first his kingdom, when you listen to what his Spirit has done in you, all those things will be added to you. All those needs, all those things that you think about and worry about, God will bless you anyway. Live for your purpose. In this moment, the church decided against Saul, the one who is aiming to destroy, the one that the enemy had raised up. They chose not to give him the authority. In the middle of what he was doing, they continued to preach the word of God. How many of you know that if you believe a lie, you empower the liar? That's the truth. If you believe a lie, you empower the liar. And they chose not to believe the lie of the enemy, that this guy Saul was going to destroy the church. They made the decision. And this is what God is challenging you with now. And the reason he's challenging you with it is because his Holy Spirit wants to work in you in grace to overflow into your life so that people may see the goodness of God. Because it's bigger than just you. It's bigger than just sitting in church this morning. God wants to fill you to overflow, to bless you to overflow, so that people outside will see what he has done. So they had this challenge and they made this decision. They said, God, this setback, God, Stephen being killed in this moment, this setback's actually a setup for our future. And that's what I want to declare over you. My setback is a setup for my future. Amen. Did I get an amen with that? My setback is a setup for my future because God is faithful. And when he's filled me to overflow, he will continue to present me with an opportunity. Ananias, facing the very person who was trying to destroy him, the very person, the very situation that tries to destroy you, God will turn it around for his glory. You've got to partner with that. You've got to say, God, I want that. God, I want to flow in fullness of your grace. Make the decision whenever you're scattered, when a Saul's raised up, I am going to preach the word of God because that's where I will see freedom. That's where I will see all life. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Amen. Greater is he. And you see this word for greater is he in 1 John 4 verse 4. The word greater is not just like, oh, it comes out on top. It's just a little bit better. The word greater is he than he that is in the world. It means far and exceedingly and abundantly more, so much that you can't measure it. That is the truth. What God has placed in you is far greater than what you will come up against. It is far greater than the situation that you'll find yourself in. God has extended so much grace to you this morning. He loves you so much. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he presents you with an opportunity to come face to face with those things, to say, do you know what, God? What you've placed in me, I'm not going to stop declaring. I'm not going to stop declaring what you've done. I'm not going to stop declaring who you are, no matter what is going on around me. And that's what the enemies will try and do. We talked about last week being filled to overflow. He wants to put a seed in your life that you start to believe it, to say, God, I can't be used. God, that was good. You know, last week, Holy Spirit, that's great, but we can't move forward. Don't believe the lie of the enemy. Do not give authority to what he says over your life. Give authority to the word of God, which is my word is powerful. It is not limitless, and it's not limited by your circumstances, because my power and my grace are made perfect in weakness. I want to show you a picture of grace with Ananias. Ananias, just as I finish here, Ananias, it must actually go with time, my goodness. Ananias comes from the word Hananiah, okay? Hananiah being one of the three friends of Daniel before their names were changed. And what it really means when you look at it is it means grace. God has been gracious to me, okay? That's what Ananias means. There's a picture of grace here when Ananias comes against Saul, because in this story, we're both Saul and we're both Ananias. And grace, Ananias, extends a hand to you like he did with Saul, and he recovered his sight. Okay, this is a picture of grace. When God extends himself towards you and he says, see, recover your sight. See what I have for you. In the same way Ananias said, see, Saul, look what God's raised you up for. God declares over your life, Ananias, grace extends to you again this morning. And he says, look up, see what I have for you. See that it's more than you can ask. It's more than you can imagine. I'm turning around those things which can be difficult. I'm turning around those challenges. Don't give authority to the soul. Give authority to the word of God. And like Saul, we're also Saul. Grace extends to us, raises up. But we're also Ananias because God has called you for that as well. He has called you to be the one who extends grace to people because that's what grace means. That word charis, which is actually one of my favorite words in Hebrew, which is, I'll say it wrong here, it's chen. That's how you say it, grace in Hebrew. And it means that God has freely extended himself toward you so much that it's not about keeping it to yourself. It's about you can't outgive God. When you bless other people, when you show him who he is, you'll not run out of blessing. You'll not run out of love. You'll not run out of grace. You'll not run out of power. And this is the challenge that Ananias and the disciples had. They said, I am going to freely extend myself in the middle of my challenge because that's who the Holy Spirit is. That's who the Holy Spirit is. And he speaks over Saul. And I want to declare this over your life because sometimes the enemy has this seed, which is, I can't be used in my situation. There's no way you can use this situation. He says in Saul in Acts chapter 9, this man Saul is my vessel of choice. Despite his history, despite what happened, despite who he was, I'm going to use him to proclaim my name to the Gentiles. And God says to you this morning, despite what's going on, despite who you think you are, despite what your history says, despite what's gone on before in your life, he says, you are my vessel of choice to carry my name, to bless other people so that you will be raised up and God will turn those situations around. You are his vessel of choice because he's freely extended himself towards you. And the encouragement is, because he's done that in your life, live in overflow with the truth that his grace is made perfect in weakness, his power is made perfect in weakness, and bless those around you because you can't outgive God. He'll continue to bless you and continue to flow in your life. When you extend yourself, as that word chen says, God's grace flowing in your life, you know what you do with people when you experience that? Like Ananias to Saul, the very thing the enemy had raised up, when you extend yourself in those situations, you're carrying little packages of grace into people's lives. You have no idea the impact that a word, that a prayer, that going towards someone, you have no idea the impact. Ananias had no idea of the impact that it would have on the church's life, on his own life, on our lives. Ananias did not know. But he said, God, you're faithful. I'm standing against this thing that has come into my life. I'm standing against this circumstance. I am going to meet it face on, this Saul, and I'm not going to give him the authority. I am not giving the Saul authority in my life. I'm giving your word authority. And look how it turned out. Saul into Paul, believers added to the number, the Holy Spirit working in increase. Church, that's your future. That's what God has for you when you extend yourself to someone. You have no idea the impact. No idea. The word says in Proverbs 11 that a generous person, he who refreshes, they'll prosper. He whoever refreshes others, will he himself be refreshed. You got something going on. We say, God, I need a breakthrough in that. You've got something happening where actually, God, I need some help there. Refresh others, and I guarantee you'll be refreshed. You will see more grace in your life than you can ever ask or imagine. Don't be like Ananias almost became, which is, God, this Saul guy, I can't work in this. He scares me. Actually, it's too big a situation. God says, no, 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 Ananias, go. I have got purpose for you. It's bigger than your preference. It's bigger than what you prefer. I know you'd prefer not to do this, Ananias, but this is bigger than yourself. And when you do it, more and more grace will flow into your life. When you refresh others, you yourself will be refreshed. As I finish, make this declaration in your heart. When I am scattered like the apostles, when I'm sown like seed, when I'm split all these different ways because circumstances can be difficult, I will preach the word of God. And I don't mean from the front. I mean to someone. I mean where I go. Why? Because I want grace in my life. I want to be refreshed in my life. I want to refresh others. That's what God has for you. Lift up your eyes this morning. Your circumstances, God cares about them. He loves you. You're righteous. You're holy. You're blameless. But in order for him to turn that around, extend yourself into it and say, I'm going to bless those around me. Because the Holy Spirit, what's in my life, is far bigger and far greater than just for me. Dunamis power. Power through God's ability. And that's what he has for you this morning. It's too big to be kept for yourself. Church, as I finish, I would like you to stand on your feet, okay? And I'd like to pray for you. Some paths of glory, that's great, thank you. I want to declare over your life, because here's the some things that we've had going on in our lives, and I come from this place this morning as well, that can be a distraction, can derail you from the purpose of God in your life. And the lie of the enemy is that whenever you've got something going on, the Holy Spirit started something great in your life, and all of a sudden a Saul has been raised up, a circumstance you did not expect. And the lie from the enemy is you've got to give your full attention, your preference to focusing on this circumstance and just cross your fingers and hope that it gets better and hope that God does something. And God steps into your life this morning, whatever it is, and he says, actually, I have purpose for you in this. I have glory to be found in this. I have grace to be found in this. I have breakthrough to be found in this. Not so that just you will be blessed, but so the world around you will be blessed. Ananias, not just so that you'll be blessed, but so the souls of this world will be blessed. Because what I've done in you at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit flowed in your life, it is so much bigger than you. It's bigger than just your family. It's wherever you go, wherever you set your hand, your foot, you will see the goodness of God. And in those moments that you've got going on, give the authority to the word of God. Do not believe the lie of the enemy that God can't turn it around. Don't believe the lie of the enemy. Declare with me this morning that my setback is a setup for my future. My setback is a setup for what God's going to do in my life. That setback, God will be glorified in it. He will turn it around and I will see his goodness. I will live in my purpose over my preference. Those things I'm naturally inclined to. Being comfortable, not being able to be a conduit and a vessel for God. I will be his vessel of choice because he loves me, because he's for me. He loves me so much, he wants to transform me. You love me so much, God, you want to transform the world around me and you want to use me to do it. I will extend myself toward others. I will be refreshed as I refresh others. I will live in dunamis power, your power through your ability. Doesn't matter about my lack, as Andrew said this morning. Doesn't matter about my lack. Because God, I can't outgive you. You're filled with resource, filled with blessing. And you have given me power to flow into every area of my life. To whoever that is. I will give authority to the word of God. Whatever has been breathed out around me to distract me, to derail me, I will remember what's been breathed into me. I will remember that when you say receive, you breathe the Holy Spirit on me, which is the power of God, your presence in my life, that no matter what's raised up, no matter what souls are raised up, no matter what circumstances are raised up, what you've breathed into me is greater than what's been breathed out around me. So Jesus, we say thank you that you are gracious, that you are kind, that you are merciful, that you love me despite what's going on. that you want to continue to use me despite what's going on. That's how your grace works well. Not because life has to look perfect and I have to skip through Monday to Friday all the time. No, but because you work in weakness. You work in power. You transform situations. And we say, thank you. I partner with what you've breathed into me, God. I choose not to consider what's been breathed out around me. Holy Spirit, I just pray afresh, just again, immerse us in your presence, that we can't keep it to ourselves. God, a fresh revelation of your love, I pray. We declare that. We give you the authority. We thank you for your truth, that you love us at all times. And you will use that circumstance right now, whatever it is, whatever's going on, the things that you worry about, the things you think about, the things that the enemy tries to make you to focus on. Lord, I'm going to live in purpose over my preference. I'm going to live in purpose. Your anointing, your flow. I say, Jesus, thank you that you're turning it around to glorify your name. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.